get them. All right. How many have had a good service so far? How many forgive Viviana for saying that the preaching is number four on the list? Stephen, did you hear that? Number four on the list, preaching, number four. Well, I want Viviana to know that I've moved her up to number one on my prayer list. So, number one. All right. I'm going to do this quickly. Can you say quickly? Thank you. Well, we're in a series called Open House, and the last Sunday of the month, we're having an open house. We're inviting all the community in. We're going to have a whole bunch of, what do you call those things? Food trucks. Who loves a food truck? We're going to have a bunch of food trucks here. We're going to have lunch together. We're going to serve, but we're going to stay behind, invite somebody. We got invite cards. Has anybody seen the invite cards? No? Can somebody get me an invite card? Have I got an usher anywhere who can help me with an invite card? But we've got invite cards, and you should take them, and you should invite people. We want to get people invited and to come in here. We want to remove every barrier to every person in London experiencing the presence of God. No, really. We want to remove every barrier to anyone experiencing the presence of God. So we want to do that. So we've got cards that we put together. Desmond, you got a card? Give it up for Desmond. He's a super deacon and usher extraordinaire, but there's cards right there. He's got a handful. If you want one, he can give you one, but right there, these are invitations to our open house. How many people have friends? Three people. We are in serious trouble here, amen? What is wrong with you? How many's favorite scripture is, come out from among them and be ye separate? That's not my favorite verse, and it shouldn't be yours. My favorite verse is, Jesus was a friend of sinners. Amen. So we're here. We're here to touch people. But we got these invitations. I want you to get involved with the invitations. Invite a friend. Invite a family member. Invite somebody. You know, I heard a statistic one day that it says 85% of your friends want to know why you don't invite them to church. 85% of your friends want to know why you don't invite them to church. I also heard another statistic that 85% of statistics are made up on the spot. So, it's a true story. All right, open house. We're talking about an open house. I love this. We started in Mark, and in Mark chapter 1, it says, everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you. Everyone. I love that. Jesus, where were you? We couldn't find you there for a minute. I mean, don't be out of our sight. Everybody's looking for you. You know what? Everybody is. You may not know it, but you need to know it. Every single person is looking for Jesus. It is created in them, innately inside of every person is a longing for a reconnection with their Heavenly Father. Everybody is looking for Jesus. You know, and we've got a responsibility to help them find him. Hebrews 3:6 says, but Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house, and we are his house. So Jesus is building a community, a living, breathing community of people, and we are the house of God. We are the place where God dwells. God's presence is especially manifest in his house, and we want everybody to experience his presence. Amen. Settle down. All right, my God. We carry mats. We talked about carrying mats. I mean, if we got people can't help themselves, we're going to carry their mat. Everybody's got a mat. You got a mat. We're all laying on something. That was his life. Everybody got a life. There's people out there laying broken on their mats, but you know, we carry mats. We intrusively, we get involved. We get into people's lives because we care. And we're going to carry people's mats. Then they came bringing the paralytic. He was carried on a mat. Amen. He came on a mat, but he left carrying his mat. And that's what we want. Like Viviana said, people come broken, but then you walk away carrying your brokenness. And what shattered you is now a trophy of God's greatness and goodness and a testimony of what God can do. Amen. Amen. So we operate in authority. We talked about the name of Jesus. We know that we're in charge. We're not beggars. We are commanders. We're not asking, God, please help us down here. God has flooded us, filled us with himself. We are living, breathing, walking, mobile tabernacles of the glory of God. God is sending us everywhere, releasing the kingdom, commanding his purpose to come into manifestation. We got the keys to bind up and the keys to loose. And we are here in the earth in the name of Jesus to set captives free and manifest, to govern the affairs of earth, because we know who we are. We know that we have authority. Amen. I got three people in the front row really excited. It's kind of quiet over on this side. Amen. Oh, they're alive over there. I was going to check for a pulse, but they're all right. All right. We operate in authority. We praise on purpose. Man, I'm not going to sit in my darkness. I'm going to sit in my nasty little spot. I'm going to shout in the darkness. I'm going to praise. If it don't look good, that don't mean it ain't good, because God is always at work for good. So no matter what's going on, I'm going to use my mouth, because my mouth is the address of every breakthrough that I'll ever have. Your mouth is a miracle. Boom, you speak. God moves when you declare the praises of God. So we know that praise isn't the little thing we do before the preacher gets up. Praise is a lifestyle. Praise is what we do every day. Your praise shall continually be on my mouth. My soul will make its boast in thee, Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. Come, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Amen. We praise on purpose, because we know that if you got a pulse and you got a mouth and you can shout praises to God, you got a breakthrough waiting to happen every single time. And we know that. Praise is not Christian entertainment. I mean, when I was a kid, we didn't have Elevation. We didn't have Bethel. We didn't have Maverick City. I had Aunt Mabel on the piano. That's what I had. And Aunt Mabel, she would play the keys off that piano. She would go, "We bring a sacrifice, I pray." Boy, she would knock that thing, but we would shout at the top of our lungs. We didn't have, you know, Christian music and all that stuff. We just had people lifting up their voices and shouting, "Glory to God!" Settle down. Boy, shuba booba bang bang. Boy, we didn't even have drums. No drums in church. See, I grew up when drums were of the devil. We didn't have electric guitars because they were of the devil. Where are you going with those drums? What's going on? Have cymbal, will travel. But boy, we had Aunt Mabel on the piano. That's all we had. But you know what we had? We had some glory times. We were kicking up some dirt. We were screaming. We were hollering. And people were getting set free, touched, delivered, praise Jesus. But I'm glad that my dad was so smart. He knew people were, you know, didn't like drums. He had certain evangelists on TV. He said drums were, you know, used to summon the demons. We're not bringing those devil instruments in church. So my dad decided to get some drums. So he got some drums and put them in the basement of the house. And then he took me down the road, and you're going to take some lessons. So we got the drums in the basement of the house. I'm taking lessons. Then all of a sudden, he moved the drums into the church on the edge of the platform, right over there. And then they did church week after week, and the drums are just sitting there. People are going, "I don't know about those. Pastor got those devil instruments in the church. What's going on over there?" And he just left them there. I kid you not, for like 3 months, drums just sitting there. Then all of a sudden, one service saying, "This is the day, this is the day." I'm like, "Oh, Carl, would you play the drums with this song? Just, you know, a little beat, just a little backup beat there." So I got up, boom, chuk, boom, chuk, boom, chuk. "This is the day, this is," and boy, people got going. Then my dad said, "Thank you, Carl, sit down now." So we'd sit down, and they'd carry on with the service, and da-da-da. So people like, "Hmm." Then the next service, we go, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my God." "Carl, would you play the drums for this song?" "Oh, sure, Dad." "Thank you, Carl, sit down." And every week, I'd get in for one song. Then the lady who thought the drums were of the devil was at the door with my dad going, "You know, Carl plays those drums tastefully. And I don't know about you, but I was thinking, you know, when it's done under the anointing," which I am anointed, "I don't think that's so bad." But you think we should have the drums throughout the worship time? "I think so, Pastor. I think actually it's pleasing to the Lord, and there's a lift in the service, and you know, the praises are accented. So you'd like us to play the drums every week, all the..." "Yes, Pastor." And all these people who didn't want it, suddenly they're like, would you please let Carl play the drums? That's how we got the drums in church. It's a true story. It's a true story. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But we understand how to praise on purpose. We understand. It says in Psalm 8:2, it says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies. See, we are innately created to praise. You are created to praise. You are excellent at it. You are created to do it. I mean, George won't let you sing unless you're real good. But God says, make a joyful noise. Amen. Even if George says you can't sing on our team, God says you can sing on my team. Come on, say amen. Amen. All right, can you sing? You make a joyful noise. You make a shout because you were created. This is an instrument that destroys the works of the devil. So we praise on purpose because we know that we govern the affairs of earth with our mouths. We govern the prayers of earth. In the house of God, it's a house of prayer. Prophetic praises establishing God's purposes in the nations. Ah. Please settle down. I have to finish, please. All right, to silence the foe in the event. We come in and we go out. We come in and we go out. We come in and we go out. That's what I'm going to talk about today, really, really fast. Can you say fast? It's going to happen so fast. Now, I want you to understand that we come in and we go out is a technical spiritual term. And I'm going to take you to school just for a bit. How many like school? Amen. Two girls in the front row, they're like, oh my God. I'm going to take you to school. Take you to the school of how to get a breakthrough. We come in and we go out. So I want you to think about it. We come in and we go. Coming in is worship, going out is witness. Coming in is worship, going out is witness. But we come in and we go out is a technical term in the Bible. It's something that you should not mess with. It's something that translators should not mess with because it's a spiritual principle in the Word of God. We come in and we go out. I've got a little picture here. That was me. I went on a vacation to Miami Beach, and this lady was there every day just outside our hotel, and I'd walk by her, God bless you, but one day I thought, I'm just going to stand by her and join in, amen, glory to God. But you know, she was spitting some fire, I'll tell you. She was calling out all those sinners on Miami Beach, and I was like, my God, I was like, I like the first part, Jesus loves you, and that he's coming, and I don't even mind repent, but repent is... He's coming, and it's a good thing. Change your mind and embrace the coming of Christ. But she was like, he gonna get you. He gonna get you, you evil bunch of people. It was rough, but we had a few conversations, but I don't think I won any of them anyways. But God bless her. It's a nice hat. So anyway, John chapter 10, verse 9. John, I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out. They will come in. And they will go out. Whoever comes to me, I am the gate, they will be saved, but they will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. Jesus is the fulfillment of this command upon the people of God, but Jesus will help us. He will teach us how to come in and go out. Now, why did Solomon ask for wisdom? Why? He asked for wisdom. He did ask for wisdom, but why did he ask for wisdom? I mean, he's there. He has an encounter with God, and God says, his favor is upon you. Now, ask for anything. Ask for anything, and I will give it to you. Now, he asked for wisdom, but why did he ask for wisdom? Why? Why was that his request? Why did he want wisdom? Well, here's what it says. You have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child, and I do not know how to come in and to go out. He said, I need wisdom, I need revelation, because unlike my father David, I don't know how to come in and go out. Could you give me wisdom? Could you instruct me? Could you give me revelation in how to come in and go out? Are you ready? Say, come in and go out. Numbers 27, 15 to 17. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in. Lord, put someone before us. Give us leadership. Give us people who can help us understand. Give us people who walk in a revelation of coming in and going out. Now, this is all over the Word of God, but this is a principle. This is something every believer has to know. This is something every leader has to know. You have to go before the people. You have to be able to lead them in, and you have to be able to lead them out. Do you know how to come in and go out? Because at Impact Church, we know how to come in and go out. We understand the principle. We understand the working relationship of coming in and going out. Deuteronomy 31, 1 and 2, then Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel. And he said to them, he said, I'm 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. I've led you. I've been a part of this, but now I'm 120 years old. It's time for me to move on. I can no longer come in and go out. Come in and go out. And that's what he said. This is the finishing work of my ministry, because now the coming in and going out has to go to someone else. Deuteronomy 28, 6, blessed you shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. That's not blessed coming home and blessed leaving the house. That's not blessed when you walk in somewhere and blessed when you come out of somewhere. It's a very key, a spiritual, specific principle in the Word of God. You got to know how to come in and you got to know how to go out. Are you listening to me? Joshua 14, 11, as yet I'm as strong as the day is when Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. See, this is a governing term. This is a military term. This is a warfare principle. And every single believer has to understand how to come in and how to go out. We at Impact Church, we know how to come in, but we also know how to go out. Are you with me? Why are you so quiet? Oh, you're listening. That's it. The Old Testament was a shadow and a type for us. Their battle was manifest, mostly physical. Our battle is spiritual. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our battle is for the souls of men and women. Our responsibility is to break the yoke and to shatter the things that blind the eyes of people to the revelation of Jesus. That's our job. Our job is, as he was sent, we are sent. We are sent so that none would go to a lost eternity, but we are here so that everyone gets exposed to the wonderful presence of God. And that is going to happen because we know how to come in and we know how to go out. 1 Samuel 18, 12, 16, it says, he went out and he came in before the people. That was David. He was there under Saul. He was Saul's captain, the captain of his army. But it says he went out and he came in before the people, and David behaved wisely. What did Solomon want? I want the wisdom. I want the wise manifestation of how to come in and how to go out that was on my father David. And the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. What is a wise person? Who is a wise person? The one who wins souls is, thank you, wisdom. Wisdom to come in and wisdom to go out. He saw that he behaved very wisely, and Saul was the king, but Saul was afraid of this lad. He was afraid of this boy because he saw this deep revelation in David's life. He knew how to come in and he knew how to go out. Coming in is worship. Coming in is bringing God's presence. The Lord was with him. When you know how to worship and you know how to abide in his presence, when you know how to carry the anointing of God wherever you go, you bring the very presence of God. Do you know how to come in? Do you know how to abide? Do you know how to bring the glory of God everywhere you go? Wherever you go, it brings the fear of God. Not a fear of people where they feel dread or they feel horror. But you see, Saul, when Saul saw that he was able to go in and able to come out, Saul felt fear because he knew this is someone who operates in partnership with the power of God. And see, people will not fear you, but a sense of the fear of the Lord. A sense of the presence of the God. When you walk into a place, there's a sense of there's something different about you. You carry something different. There's something about your life. There's an awe. Not I'm scared of, but an awe. There's a fear of God. There's a pay attention comes upon people when you show up because you know how to come in and it's manifest on your life. Hey! Charisse is one of those people right there. Charisse, raise your hand, Charisse, wave. Did you know you're in the sermon today? You did not. But you know, Charisse, she works in social services and she worked in town here. And the one job she had, you know, when Charisse would have lunch, she would always pause at lunch and pray. Nothing weird, nothing too heavy, just her own little personal thing. But you know what? People were watching. And Charisse would carry on with her life and do things. And she was a good friend. She was a fantastic person to hang around with. And she had people at work that loved her and loved hanging around with her. Now, she had one friend at work who did not want anything to do. In fact, her family said Christianity is the problem with the world. But she watched this girl who she loved and thought, I love this person. I want her to be my friend. I love what's going on in her life. And she says, what's weird though is I think she's a Christian. Is this a true story? It's a true story. You know what? Suddenly, Charisse didn't invite her to church. Say, boo. Charisse did not invite her to church, but she said, here's what she said. Without any conversation about God or anything, she said to Charisse, where do you go to church? Take me to your leader. She didn't say that, but where do you go to church? And she said, I go to Impact Church. Oh, so you know what? Without an invitation from Charisse, everybody say, boo. Without an invitation, she didn't give a physical invitation or a verbal invitation, but her life was an invitation because she was a carrier of the presence of God. What was her name again? Kate, you're right. Names. What's the deal with that? I need healing on the, hey? You know, Kate came with a friend, and Kate came and she was kind of horrified because she really liked it. She's like, oh my God, I really like Charisse. And now what's really creepy is I really like her church. And Charisse's like, oh my God, Kate, what are you doing? You know what Kate kept doing? She kept coming back. She kept coming back. And at the end of every service, she kept putting her hand up for salvation. And then finally one day I went back and said, Kate, I think you're in. You know, we don't have to do it every week anymore. I am. I said, you are. And you know, Kate gave her life to Jesus, and then she went through some discipleship, and then Kate got baptized in water. And when she got baptized in water, she said, my family thinks I've lost it. They think I should be sent to the loony bin. They think everything wrong with the world is because of Christian people. But you know what? My family is coming to my baptismal service. Hey! Got baptized, and Kate went on to another city. She went to do her master's somewhere. Now, I think Kate's in Sarnia now, but you know, still stay in touch with Kate. But Kate had a life-transforming experience because of Charisse. Because Charisse knows how to come in. She didn't know how to give an invitation, but she knew how to come in. Yeah. You know, it brings His presence, brings the fear of God, it brings God's wisdom. Hey, this is a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm sure you do know how to invite Him. Forgive me. I'm so sorry. All right, 2 Chronicles 9, 1 to 4, say faster, pastor. Amen. 2 Chronicles 9, 1 to 4, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, she saw the way he entered up into his upper room. She saw the way they dressed, the way they set the table. She came to discredit him. He's a bum. I am the wisest person in the world. So she came, brought him a big gift, and she wanted to say, dude, you got nothing. I'm the boss. But when she got there and she saw, when she saw the way he did life, she went, oh my goodness. But then when she saw how he went up into the presence of God, it says her spirit was crushed. Her spirit, that spirit that was against things that Solomon was for, her spirit was crushed when she saw how he worshiped. So you got to know how to come in. Do you know how to come in? Do you know how to come in? Do you know how to come in? You got to be someone who knows how to worship. There's two ways to influence people, voluntary and involuntary, consciously or unconsciously. One's a product of exertion, the other's a product of existence. And I shared Charisse with you because Charisse's influence on Kate was existence. It was just doing life. She was just at work every day. She wasn't handing out tracts to all of her friends. She would have gone, you know, don't swear in front of me. I'm a child of God. It wasn't this exertion of, you know, behave like I'd like you to behave. You know, people, sinners are sinners. Who cares? I mean, I care that they're sinners. I want to see them all come to Jesus. But you know, it's not my responsibility to try to change them. It's my responsibility to love them. Amen? But Charisse knew how. And, you know, unconscious is the most authentic way to touch someone's life. Because there's no performance in it. There's no insistence. There's no change. Can I get an amen? So we reach people by the way we come in. We make, and please, please, please make a commitment to worship as a way of life. Make it the way you can't. Listen now, I'm wrapping up. Can you say wrapping up? That was a bit bold, Teresa. Hey, man, a bit strong. Wow. First Viviana put me in fourth place. That was you. Oh, sorry. It reverberated and bounced off of Charisse. Okay, right. You can't go in. You can't go out until you come in. You can't go out until you come in. But you are called to go out. So you can't, just coming in is enough. Now, let me tell you about David. David knew how to come in and go out, right? David knew. How many know David, King David? Remember David, the slingshot kid? Remember him? Became the king, expanded the borders, was amazing. King David. Now, how many remember King David screwed up? King David screwed up. Does anybody know why he screwed up? We know that he screwed up. We know that he broke like all the Ten Commandments in one afternoon, just, and then had people killed, all kinds of stuff. I mean, he fell into a bucket. He really did. But does anybody know why? Does anybody know why? Does anybody know why? He wasn't where he's supposed to be. It says, at the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants, but David remained at Jerusalem. Look at this phrase. Then it happened. Then. What is it? It was Bathsheba. When he should have been out on the battlefield, when kings go to war, he knows how to come in, but it was time to go out. When it was time to go out, you know what David did? He stayed home. When it was time to go out, David said, I'm just not feeling that right now. So you know what? He stayed home. You know what he did? He started hanging around on his balcony, doing some gardening, checking some things out, and that's good. And then he's looking out over, you know, his kingdom and all that, and then he looks over here and he goes, oh, what's that? Oh. And there's a lady ready to take a bath right there in the balcony. Why did that happen? Because David didn't go out. He didn't go out. He wasn't where he was supposed to be, so he fell into a situation. Then he tried to cover the situation. Then he had the husband killed. Then he lied about it all. And there was a horrible mess that was created. He had to pass on the building of the temple to his son because David didn't go out. You got to know how to come in, but you got to know how to go out. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be... Sorry. Any Bible scholars here today? What does it say? And you shall be... And you shall be... Does anybody want to buy a vowel? Come on, what is it? The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you shall be witnesses. Anybody know what a witness is? Has anybody ever been to court? And you go to court and you see the crown prosecutor. And then when you go to court, you got your defense attorney. But when somebody sits in the chair up there, they are a witness. And you're called to be a witness. You're called to give a testimony. You're called to share your story. You're not here to prosecute. And you're not here to defend. You're not here to tell people you're wicked, you're evil, you're a dog. That's not your job. You're also not here to say, don't you talk about Jesus like that. I'm here to defend Jesus. I want to defend Jesus. Jesus doesn't need a defense. He needs you to tell your story about how Jesus has touched your life. So we are called to go out. We are called to be witnesses. We are called to connect with people with their story. We're called to come in and go out. John 7:38, who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You get your needs met by giving. Jesus with the woman at the well. They said, Jesus, aren't you hungry? We got you some food. He said, I'm not hungry at all. My meat and my drink is to do the will of my Father. There's something that satisfies you when you're doing what God's called you to do. You are called to do that. Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. Amen. Are you going out? Are you going out? Are you living your life intentionally in front of people? Do people know that you're a believer? Do people know that you love them? Do people know that you love Jesus? Do people know that you're a worshiper? Do people know that someone captivates your soul and you are in love with Jesus? I don't think you should go out until you are. I don't want people going out halfway in love with Jesus. I want people saturated who know how to come in, living, walking, manifestations of the goodness of God. Don't misrepresent my Jesus. First Corinthians 9 says, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. I mean, that's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, I am a slave. Every single day, I embrace the place of a servant so that every single person, I esteem everyone as better than myself. I want to bring many people to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and to share in its blessing. Pastor, I have a job. I mean, I got stuff. I got things. The kids, they got things going on. I got to take the kids to this. I got to take the kids to that. Isn't that wonderful? Because you have a sphere of influence. And you know what? In every one of those things, you don't stop being a Christian when you do that. But in your sphere, you're thinking of every way. Look at this. They got kids. I got kids. Their kid loves baseball. My kid loves baseball. Their kid loves this. My kid loves this. You got common ground all over the place with people that you can just hang out with and let the glory of God in you infect them until they go, where do you go to church? How do you even know I go to church? Because you're a worshiper. Because you know how to come in. And it's manifest in every aspect of your life. Wherever you are, God didn't give you a job so that you could make money. God gave you a job so that you could be excellent in that place. And yes, it will provide for you, but you are undercover manifesting the kingdom of God. Paul, you're not a lawyer. You're a child of God. You're disguised as a lawyer. That's not who you are. You're a child of God to transform every person you come in contact with. You're not an electrician. That's a cover. You're undercover. You're not an electrician. You're a child of God who happens to fix things and pull wires and do stuff, but in every single moment of your life, you're a worshiper and you're manifesting the kingdom of God. Gosh, if we would get this, I tell you, the Canada Life Center is too small. Too small. Too small. Called to impact your world. The process is be aware, have some prayer, share, and care. S.D. Gordon said, the greatest thing anyone can do for God and man is to pray. It is not the only thing, but it is the chief thing you can do. You can do more than pray, but only after you've prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed. Boy, that was a bit of a tongue twister, wasn't it? How many have got people that you're praying for right now? You got people, you got loved ones, you got people you're working for at work, and before you go to work, you're praying for them. You're praying for them. I used to have a secular job. And I met with three guys who were believers at the place where I worked, and we met together before we went in, and we prayed for everybody that we worked with. We knew what was going on in their lives, and we would go, and when they told us they had a loved one not well, we took that to heart, and we prayed for them, and we'd ask them, how are they doing? We're praying for them. And they knew that. I would get calls on the road, people chasing me down just to pray for them. People I worked with looking for me to pray for them because they knew I was a believer, and I believe what I talked about, and I believe God could do anything, and he'll do it for you. True. Gotta pray. Luke 10, 33, 34, he said about the Samaritan journeyed. He journeyed. He came where he was. He saw him. He had compassion on him. He took care of him. Who do you see? Who do you care about? There's broken people all over the place in your world. Do you see them? Do you care about them? Matthew 5, 13, you are the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth is you see as Jesus sees. You value everybody. You accept as Jesus accepts. You accept people right where they are. Oh, well, I wouldn't hang out with them. Oh, I hope God doesn't even save those kind of people. Ugh. Yeah, he wants to save those people. By the way, look in the mirror. He saved you. See as Jesus sees. Accept as he accepts. Love as he does. His love is unconditional. I still can't get my head around that word. I still don't get it. But teach as Jesus. Touch as Jesus touched. His touch was transformational. Sam Williams said this. He said, evangelism is helping people discover how God is already at work in their lives. Did you know God is at work in people's lives? Did you know that God is at work in people's lives? He's at work in the lives of the people that you're with. He's at work right now in the lives of people that are lost. He is seeking and saving the lost even still. Witnessing is talking about someone you love. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What fills your heart? What fills your heart? All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. He's the fairest of 10,000. I don't know the rest of the song. Somebody wrote that. All that fills my soul is Jesus. Somebody wrote, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me. and made me whole. Hold up your hand for me. Hold up your hand. Your hand is his hand. And if anybody's going to get touched or transformed, it's got to be you.